Welcome to Pure Entropy, a podcast presented by Entropy Studios. In this podcast, we focus on the mysteries of life and take you on a mind-expanding journey. Our goal is to broaden your horizons, feed your curiosity, and we do so by finding the signal through the noise. And in today's episode, I'm really excited to talk to Selena Shragi, and she's a data-driven creative director, and she does so many cool things, which inspires me as well to learn from her, but I want to hear from her and let you guys get in that as well. So then I'll take it away.
I feel like I always see it as like I have like a day job and almost like a hobby job. So day to day, I work as a freelance creative director or art director for a lot of different direct-to-consumer brands. So a lot of brands that are in the food and beverage or makeup and skincare space. And then by night, I work as a travel content creator. I work with hotels, Airbnbs, tourism boards, and stuff like that to create content that promotes travel. And that's kind of like my passion and my hobby, even though it doesn't really pay the bills. It does kind of bring me to sort of like life fulfillment. So those are kind of like the two main projects that I am currently working on.
Yeah. So how did you even like get started in this? I feel like nowadays, there's so many options to do like infinite amount of things, and people, it's like easy to see like, oh my God, I want to do X, Y, Z, and you know, I keep doing this. But then I've always seen, especially now too, it's when you kind of focus on a couple things as like you're, okay, this is what I really want to be kind of obsessed by it, but also have that open interest to try new things, which over time, I feel like a lot of people just get more resistant to. And that's something I always like remind myself as I get older, I gotta be open to try new things.
Yeah, it's a very interesting story, actually. So I've always been interested in this more creative side of my brain. Growing up, I did dance, I played the piano, I did choir. I was super, super artsy. But at the same time, when it came to like my actual academics, I was like the math whiz. Like I remember skipping all these grades in math and like doing robotics in high school. And so I always had this push and pull between what is maybe the more creative side of my brain and then the more data-oriented side of my brain. So when it came to like graduating high school, you know, as a child of immigrants, there's really only like three options for what you can do with your life, like engineer, doctor, and lawyer. And I felt like, you know, I had this robotics experience. To me, it was this great way to almost embed some of my creativity. Like I started to see engineering as a place where I could be creative. So I applied to be a chemical engineering major at the University of Texas at Austin. And then pretty quickly realized that, you know, what you do on a robotics team or even like doing research in college is very different than what most of the job market looks like for engineers, especially here in Texas. A lot of it is managing plants that have to do with energy, oil, and gas. And it just wasn't something that felt right for me. I also grew up in Austin, Texas. So I've always been like a city girl. And so I quickly realized that I had to pivot careers. My second year of college, I started working as a graphic designer for a local marketing agency. I had some experience in that in the past, but getting thrown into the weeds at a marketing agency that was at its infancy was just a really great way for me to be forced to learn how to do this well really fast. I helped grow that agency throughout my final few years of college. And then upon graduation, I was like, I already have, in some ways, like 3 years of experience working in this space. I discovered I really liked working with brands that sell products that you can hold, especially consumable brands. So like food and beverage, like I'm the type of girl that goes into Whole Foods and gets really excited to try all the different new brands and stuff. And so in a way, this allowed me to channel that, you know, being on the consumer side, but also to then work on the other side of things. And so I launched my freelance business, pretty quickly discovered that having this sort of data-driven engineering mathy background made me stand out from a lot of other designers. And made me be able to think in this idea of like, how do I make things convert well? Because ultimately, a lot of these businesses are startups that need to make money to survive. I like to be digging in the weeds with data and found this way to blend those two things really well. And then the travel thing was this, you know, I sat down at some point and was like, what do I think I will be like satisfied and fulfilled if this became my career for the rest of my life? And even before I started to take it really seriously, it was something I was doing on the side. I've always been someone who loves travel, and it's been a priority for me. And I was already traveling quite frequently. Like when I started to graduate, I was thinking about like where I wanted to live. And I adopted this idea of slow travel, which is where you spend like a month or even potentially more at a time in every single location. And so I had already been slow traveling. Like I did this road trip up the coast where I spent time in LA and in Seattle and in Northern California, where my boyfriend's family lives. I had done, you know, a stint in Tulum, a stint in Park City. And so it continued after college. And I realized like I'm already going to these places. I might as well be shooting my shot as a travel content creator at the same time. Plus I did, you know, what I forgot to mention is I casually also got a second degree in radio, television, film when I was at UT. So I did also have this background knowledge in photography and videography that I get to apply both places. So I do sometimes do photography and videography for my brands. And then at the same time, obviously I'm doing a lot of photography and videography to be a travel content creator. Earlier this year is when I really was like, all right, I'm going to commit to posting like multiple times a week, every single day if possible. And yeah, it's definitely grown a lot since then. So I think a lot of it was me sitting and thinking about like, what will I truly be happy with after like 5 years of doing it? And travel has always just been this thing that I've found that I gravitate to more than anything else. And, you know, some people get homesick quite fast and I do get a little homesick, but I think that hits me a little bit later. So it just kind of felt like the right career path for me. And it was a place where I could continue to flex that creative muscle, but also, you know, I'm working sometimes with travel brands and, you know, being brand side at all these other places, you know, getting content in from other content creators. It just feels like I'm getting to continue to work the same muscle and almost talk back and forth between what is my day job and my hobby job, taking things I learn here and things I learn here and getting to grow both careers together. So yeah, that was my long-winded spiel as to how I got to where I am today, which I definitely would have not guessed like multiple years ago when I was a chemical engineer. And like you said, being open to pivoting, like was definitely a scary leap of faith to take this engineering degree and not quite use it in the traditional way.
No, I can definitely relate to that because I also, same thing, like immigrant parent. So only options that I feel were like doctor, engineer, lawyer, like exactly like you said. Another time, all my friends also like, they were all doing pre-med. So I was like, what the heck do I know? You're like, I'm pretty sure if I really tried, I could also do pre-med. So I just went along with it. And then it was junior year in college. And I was like, you know, I really don't think like I could do this if I was like, okay, I'm already too far into it. And I was really like thinking that way too. And I was like, too late to switch. So like, let's just stick it out. And then I had to just kind of think about like, okay, if it's 10 years later and I'm still there and then I'm like, I don't like this, then it's not going to help the people I would be trying to help. It's not going to help me. And it's just going to be like miserable for everyone else, even though I could just like outwardly presenting this happy face. So I was like, okay, I have to like talk to people, you know, have a conversation with my parents, just figure it out. And it wasn't like, oh, I talked to them one day and it just twitched. They were definitely like, no, you're already too far into it. And they were like, no, talk to these other people, talk to more members in the family. And finally, like over a month, it took to switch. So I was like, okay, I switched now. And I'm like, this is very tough, but it's like, I could tell that the first switch, which was more doing more data science related stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, because I switched from pre-med public health to this, mm-hmm. it took a while and I was scared for a long time. I was like, I'm so behind. But I think like over time, if you're just interested in something, you can't really focus on like, oh, this person's so far ahead. It's more like, no, I'm enjoying this while it's hard. I still want to keep going. Maybe I can get like inspiration from that person on getting the methods that are working versus like, you know, trying so many things and doing that.
Yeah, I think I posted about this recently, but kind of what you're describing is called the sunk cost fallacy, right? Where you're like, I already spent, whether it's time, money, energy, emotional energy for me with my engineering degree, you think in all these resources that you put in, And you use that as a reason to continue to stick to something that you're not truly 100% committed to. And like you said, it's like this viewpoint where you're stuck looking in the past, but what you need to do is think like 10 years ahead. Like 10 years from now, if I'm a doctor and I haven't been happy for this entire 10 years, that's the real sunk cost. Like that's the real loss, is if you continue down a path that you just know in your gut, like it's not going to bring you joy. And like, I have had to think about that at every single turn. And I think in general for humans, like, I mean, even just thinking about like the tribal instincts or whatever that's within us, like change is always scary and it's always a risk. And you never know what that change might bring, whether you'll succeed or even like what you said, it's really scary to step into a position where you might be, you know, 3 years or also you might be 10 years behind where someone your age is in their career path. But the other thing is, you know, understanding that like all life experience will guide you somewhere. Like, yes, you might have, you know, had to take a step back in order to switch into data science, but I'm sure there are ways that being pre-med made you think or made you study or something like that, that inadvertently you got to apply. Because that's what I found, like, yeah, I didn't actually end up graduating with a chemical or with a graphic design degree, but the chemical engineering degree was a way that I can almost jump ahead, even though it had nothing to do with graphic design. And if anything, I had a business coach tell me this, but if you find those things that you think are almost the reasons that fuel your imposter syndrome, like I have a ton of imposter syndrome. I keep telling myself like, oh, you know, like I have a chemical engineering degree, it has nothing to do with what I'm doing right now. You have to find those things like, oh, I have a chemical engineering degree, or, oh, I'm super young, or, you know, I'm a woman and that might hold me back in this career path. And you have to find ways that those things actually end up helping you, like flip it on its head. That's the best way to overcome those feelings that like fuel your imposter syndrome. So with the engineering degree, I started to talk about how like, well, I'm a data-driven creative director. Not many creative directors have ample experience analyzing data and optimizing solutions. But that was like my whole degree for 4 years, 4.5 years. So, and then like being young, like a lot of these brands are targeting a consumer that's my age. It's like older Gen Z, younger millennials. And so I understand that consumer even better than someone who might be like, you know, 40 years C-suite, whatever. And then the last thing, you know, like being a woman, like I think that, you know, that in some ways can make me more empathetic. And that's a really strong thing for a creative director to have, because you have to empathize with your customers and your audience. And so everything I've ever used to kind of pull myself back down, I have had to think about ways to flip it on its head and make it almost just like the reason why I should be further ahead and the reason why I deserve the roles that I'm getting or any sort of success that falls into my hands.
Yeah, it's cool you say that, because there's like I ended up, I even took the MCAT. It was like that close.
You took the MCAT?
People were like, oh, you switched out. I was like, no, like I could literally tell you the pain of studying for the MCAT. I took the MCAT and then I was like, oh my God. Like, yeah. And so I was like, yeah, this is it for me.
I finished my degree, I think in part out of spite. Like, I think there was a small part of me that had to prove to myself that I was capable of completing what is traditionally a really hard degree. And there were so many kids that dropped out. And honestly, if I dropped out, I think I'd be absolutely fine today. But I do think that there's something inside me that needed to just be like, I'm capable of doing this. Like, I could have gone this engineering route if I wanted to. I just chose not to.
Well, I think it definitely applies here, because let's say like what you're doing is not like there's a school that just tells you like, okay, you're going to do like first year this, second year that, right? And that's like what's called a pathless path. And there's like a book by Paul. Mm-hmm. But I met him in Austin actually like a month ago. And I was like, oh my God, like this is crazy. It was also like a fangirl moment, but at the same time, I was like, oh, I know this person's real, but also like, I'm standing next to this person who I've read. I know like they're right for you without even talking to them. And he was the one who was really like,
that's so interesting.
Right? So I was like, this is that it makes so much more sense. And I can see like, this is cool, but also that imposter syndrome kicks in. And so what I do now is like on my like Notion page or something, I'll have fear written down. But the definition is like false evidence appearing real. So whenever I think like, oh, I'm a this, it's because like my mind is just thinking or like fantasizing like, oh, this is what I think. But then I try to do anything that will make me uncomfortable to help that. Like exactly kind of how you said.
Yeah, there's, I mean, I have in my career seen so many people who did not know what they were doing act with full-blown confidence, and that takes them quite far. And if I'm watching and I'm like, they don't know what they're doing, I know what I'm doing, but their confidence is taking them further than my knowledge is, then like, why am I not giving myself that same leg up almost? But I wrote down Pathless Path because I'm like, I'm going to go try and find this book now and read it. But it is really interesting. I think a lot of the people who I know, who I find to be the most satisfied or the most happy in their lives right now, are the people who broke away from the ideas of what they thought they were supposed to do based on what everyone was telling them they were supposed to do, and like kind of carved their own path. Because the honest answer is like, you know, going to college for one thing, graduating, finding a degree or a career that aligns with that degree, working for a very large company, potentially a 9-to-5, it works for some people, but not for everyone. And it definitely would not have worked for me. And like, you know, that's not to shame it. Like, there are some days where I really wish I had a 9-to-5 and like turned off my brain at 5 p.m. and like got to enjoy something that was like more of a hobby of mine and stuff like that. Whereas right now, that's definitely not the case, like building my own businesses. But, you know, like, I don't think I could have had it any other way. I think if I had stuck to what I thought was correct, especially in the lens of this community I grew up in, I would be miserable right now. And I you have even talked to people, friends of mine who I grew up with, who I went to elementary, middle, high school, college with. And some of those people did kind of choose what I saw to be the more stereotypical successful path. Like, maybe they were working as like a PM or an engineer. Think about like all the big tech companies like Google, Amazon, Meta, et cetera. And they would be like, Selena, I'm so jealous of your life. And I'm like, dude, just quit your job. Like, find a startup to work at. Find something that you're passionate about. There are a million people with a million ideas out there that need the right people to help empower and like make those things accessible. Like, people need, like, startups are hiring. People need you. So like, just go find the right place. Find the place where, you know, the product of the company or the brand is like aligned with what you like and what you enjoy, or what, you know, your views on the world are, or people that you want to help, et cetera. And like, apply the skills that you've learned, because you clearly have them if you're, you know, a PM at Google, et cetera. Apply those things there. And I do know a few of those people who have since like quit their jobs, and they're like, dude, I'm so much happier. Like, I might be working more hours, but at least it's like in, you know, at a place where I feel like I'm building something bigger. Whereas I know that working at some of those big companies can be a little soul sucking, because often you're working on like one attribute of one part of a big program. Like, I know someone who talked about how for months they basically just decided to add a button to Facebook. Like, and that was like their whole project over this span of multiple months. And I was like, all right, dude. Like, and he also quit. So, I mean, like, and again, none of this is like to shame people who do have 9-to-5s, because I do think that there are people where that is what makes them happy. Like, having that sort of, maybe it's like security, or maybe it's like specific guardrails, or maybe it's someone who's like, yeah, I really do just want to like take home that paycheck and then like turn off my brain from that project. That's completely fine too. But it's all about like choosing the direction that you feel fulfilled and you feel happy, and being okay if that breaks what your previous ideas of success was. Because that, I think, was the hardest thing for me. It was like, you know, my mom is not going to go show off to all the other Chinese moms and be like, ah, Selena is like a PM at Google. Unfortunately, that never happened for her. But, you know, I do think she is pretty proud to say like Selena is running her own company successfully and with 6 figures. So I think that's a good thing. She has one thing to show off, even if she's still confused about who I'm employed by, which it is myself. But, you know, it was something that I definitely had to like get over. And it took a while for me to feel comfortable with this completely separate path in life.
Yeah, that's kind of like what I'm feeling right now, is because right now I can technically, if somebody asks like, what is the path in like 10 years, I could just tell them exactly what to do. And it's like having the cheat code, but it's like, I don't want this cheat. Then it makes it not fun, because if you already know what's going to happen, then it's too easy. Or it's like, yeah, I will know exactly what will happen, and then this will happen. Versus when it's like unknown, it's more like, oh, like, I don't know, this could go really big or it might not, but it'd still be cool to at least give it a shot. So that's like the
absolutely
mindset.
And that's another thing I think that I've thought about. Not that like wealth and success are the only important things in life, but if you don't take big swings, there's no chance of like big success, you know, however you might define that, right? And so if you're only taking smaller swings, like, you know, you might go up this high or might go down the slope. But if you're taking a big swing, that's the only way that you might ever be the person that goes up this high, as opposed to, but you know, there's always the flip side as well. But, you know, like, I just thought that I would regret my life if I look back and I discovered I wasn't taking those big swings and those big risks.
Yeah, I feel like over time, you also get like before, I think like, unless I don't have the knowledge, I can't really do it. But I think it's like, you can make your own systems from whatever you learn. Unlike when I'm feeling like, oh, it's not a fun day, or it's like, I don't really want to do this. Because there are always those days like that. But I have like systems that I can just fall back on. And knowing like, okay, I'm not feeling it today, but I know this needs to get done. And what is my process? So I have it like written down, or even just like a flow diagram just for myself. In the most random way that makes any sense, I just go to that and like, okay, this is how it goes. And I can follow it. And when the days are really good, you're like, oh, I want to, you know, share this to someone else. Maybe someone finds it useful. And there's a course called Ultra Speaking, which was like, I've never done any public speaking course. Especially I went to school in India where it was more, okay, read the book and copy the notes. And then that's what's on the test. And they didn't really care if you had like a weird thought, or it was like something out of the norm. It was just like, yeah, that's not good. I can't speak that. But damn, it's like the States, it was more like, what do you think about a certain topic and why do you think the author is saying this? I was just like, whoa, I don't know the answer to this. So for middle school or even high school, I was just like, oh man, this is so hard. Like time writings were the worst for me. And not
Finally,
it's like, I don't know, I really have like different ways to think about it, and I can see like why they would put it a certain way and this way. And this course was more exactly like, people think like they are going to catch her and like, they don't know, we don't know what we're saying, but it's like, if you say it and stay in that character, no one can tell. And these courses were like 10 people per group. And we'd give feedback after every type speech. And in class, you go, the topic would just pop up saying like, okay, like breathing is like, and you would have to say something. And you don't have a time to think. But you have to give like a 1 minute speech on things like that. And I did it for the, like, I just finished it. And it's like awesome that the feedback I was getting, like, yeah, we thought really, you really knew what you were saying. You thought, you know, this was your favorite topic. And I was just like, no, I was just saying whatever was coming to my mind. So that changed my mind. And even now, like, I can tell that instead of always having something to say, I can be more present, like even listening to you, that actually getting that full attention and whatever comes to my mind, it's more fast and I can just trust what it's saying. So it's been like a very, I would say top 5 courses I've ever taken, like outside school.
I know that I haven't personally participated, but I know that there are these like clubs called like Toast Clubs where they kind of force you to do something similar where it's like you have to get up, you have to speak under pressure. But you know what you reminded me of? There was, this is so niche, but I remember doing SAT prep, and you know, they give you that like essay at the beginning of the SAT and it's like everyone's least favorite part. Even if you like writing, it's like, oh, come on. And I remember in that prep course, there was one specific brief that like to this day, for some reason, it stuck with me. And the brief was, well, I say brief as a creative person, but it's like, I guess technically, oh, prompt, that's the right word. So the prompt was, is creativity born like under pressure or oppression or something along those lines? And at first I was like, what the hell is it talking about? Like creativity is about like this freedom of thought, right? And so I don't know if I fully understood it in that moment. Every day since then, I have regretted the fact that I disagreed with the prompt, because I actually wholly agree with the prompt. I think it's so interesting to see how we create around obstacles, because that's the only way our like creativity is producing real solutions. And it is times like when, you know, you walk in and you're given a prompt and you have to go, or I'm in film class and we have freaking essay tests and I have to sit down, see the prompt and try and think about how XYZ film represented multiculturalism or whatever it is. It's under pressure like that, that you really start to discover like how it is that you think. And you have to learn how to be confident in those snap decisions. And that's another thing I think it's really helped me build like any sort of, you know, creative hurdle where I was under some sort of time pressure has helped me discover how to be more decisive and to be more confident. I still can't decide what to order off of a food menu for like an hour, but when it comes to like my creative decisions and why I think they're the right answer, I'm pretty quick at like explaining to you why this is right or this is a strategy we should go with because of those experiences. And I do think that finding opportunities, like you said, even earlier in this, you know, podcast, places that you can seek this discomfort is the way that you become that really confident, like well-spoken person.
Yeah. So it's not funny. I also, and all my friends were always just like, so what do you want to eat? And they're like, I don't know. I thought you were going to decide. And I'm like, oh no. So what I'm starting to do now is either I give them the option, like, okay, pick a flavor, savory, spicy, sweet. And then I like cut it down for them. So I'm just like, at this point, I'm like an algorithm for you guys, giving you the choices. And then at the end, they always go like, actually, I don't really want that. And those ones, I'm just like, oh my God. Like you should have, you're not giving the answers. Don't just give me problems. But it's just like, I deal every time.
I don't know if my audio is going to get weird because my AirPods died. But along those lines, that is something I've learned. Like the hot tip of the day, if you like listen or take away anything from this is like a really simple one. But if you want to schedule time with someone or if you want someone to pick a restaurant or whatever, it is much easier if you just go in with giving them like, here are three options, or even better if it's just two. And then, you know, like you said, like starting with flavors and then finding a way to narrow down from there. That just like helps people so much as opposed to being like, so when are you free? You will never see that person. As opposed to like, here are my options for like when we can link up or something like that. And so like you have to always go in with this idea that everyone is indecisive. And also I think like, you know, the irony of me being indecisive when I order off a menu is because I spend my whole day having to be decisive and think quick and move fast at, you know, these startup companies where that is so vital. And it's hard, you know, sometimes you like, you leave work and you're thinking about what food you want to eat and you just want someone to make that decision for you. You're like, I've spent all day being a servant. Just let me like follow the flow. Let me have no opinions right now.
It's kind of nice. It's like comforting. And whenever the choice is like chosen right, you're like, this is why we're friends. Or like, this is why I trust you. You're going to get the right thing. And sometimes they're on there like, I don't know what happened to you. Like, maybe I'll figure it out next time.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
For the final part of this, I have these quick final four. And you can just have to get one word answers or like a quick story. So number one is, what is the best advice you've ever gotten?
If you really want to change the world, you will change the world for one person. Because I think I that was something I always sought out when I was younger. And I always had this desire to make the most massive impact. I was like, how many people can I touch? And I have this memory of, I used to, you know, play piano and practice at home. I hated practicing and playing the piano. And at some point, our backyard neighbors, like the husband came over and like told my mother that he hopes that we play piano more because his wife had cancer. And the only time that she would like, you know, leave the house, I don't know if she was like in remission or something, but the only time she would leave the house was when we were playing. So she could like sit on the porch and listen to us play. And I realized that something that felt insignificant to me was potentially changing like this whole day-to-day life of this other person. And, you know, so like focus on like, I guess, doing it right by, you know, the people you can do it right by. Sometimes it's more important to really make a true impact on a select group of people than, you know, trying to do this big grand thing and change the world. Because you have to understand, like, every single person carries a different world with them. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Second one is, what is the worst advice you've ever gotten?
Oh, man. You should be a chemical engineer. Next.
All right. And the final one is, if there was one law in the world that doesn't exist right now, but you'd want it to be, what would that be?
Law in the world?
It could be a law. It could just be a saying that people should go by more. Like for me, I did another podcast and they were like travel adventure group. And they said that people should deboard the planes by like the roads you sit on, because people always crash into each other and no one listens. So that was for them. Oh, so something around with that.
I guess my less joking hippie version of this answer is, I think we should decriminalize psychedelics. I think it would make the world a better place. But, you know, not saying that I've partaken in anything, you know, and not giving out any advice or whatever. But my like joking answer to that is, I think that like when you go get an iced beverage, that like there has to be a limit with how much ice they put in it. Because I swear to God, anytime I get something iced, it's like the whole thing is ice. And I'm paying for like, you know, this much coffee, which it just isn't working for me, but I still want my stuff cold. I think like light ice should be the standard and regular ice should be something you have to ask for.
Like ask for. I love that. Yep. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. But thank you so much for being on today. There's so many more things to talk about, but definitely had a great conversation.
It's endless. I feel like you and I could talk for a really long time.
You've been listening to Pure Entropy. Thanks for listening to this podcast. It really means a lot. I appreciate all the time. Take it out of your day to give it a listen. If you'd like to support further, you can do so by leaving us a review on your favorite podcasting platform of choice. See you in the next one.